Week 2, Class 3, Living Faith. Now we're going to pick up here and finish off on this part on love. Nowhere in Scripture does it teach does God teach that unconditional love and unforgiveness are compatible. You can't find that anywhere. And then when you talk about developing love, please do not misinterpret a nice personality as being the indicator of a person walking in God's love. Doesn't mean that at all. It can, but it doesn't mean that at all. The capacity for unconditional love is deposited in us the moment we are born again. If you look over in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Doesn't say that the love of God is deposited into your heart. You know, I've heard people talk about when you get over in the fruit of the Spirit there in Galatians, we talk about that and how the fruit of the Spirit, even though it's capital S, it's not talking the fruit of the Holy Ghost, it's the fruit of your born-again spirit. And a lot of people want to talk about, well, I'll love when the Holy Spirit gives it to me. No, I'm sorry. You're not going to be able to stand up before God and say, "Well, God, I'll tell you why I hated everybody. It's because it's your fault, really, God. I mean, you should have told the Holy Ghost to give me some love." It says right there, "The love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit." God's going to look at you and say, "Excuse me." However, you'll notice it doesn't say that the love of God is deposited into your heart. So He can't shed what hasn't been deposited. You're going to say, "Well, no, God, that's not what that means." So you're going to have to correct God on His theology when you get there. It's not going to work. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Turn over to Jude. Jude verses 20 and 21. "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." There's a connection between praying in tongues and the love of God being shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. So this is another good reason to pray in the Spirit, not just to be built up on your most holy faith, but also to help you to go into a deeper level of a love walk. Now, here's something that's interesting. Over there in John chapter 4, two places, it says that God is love. Now, what this means is this. This is going to really knock on some theology, some doctrines. People talk about, "I want to go deeper into God. I want to go deeper into God. I want to go deeper into God." You cannot go deeper into God and not go deeper into love. It's impossible. God is love. So people that are mean, that are hateful, all right? And it's, okay, let's just kind of be honest here. Everybody goes through bad days, right? You know, that's negative confession. Yeah, but everybody goes through bad days. There are some days where we just feel like being nicer to people than other days. And then some days, don't even look at me the wrong way. All right? Well, we can have our emotional ups and downs. But God is love. People that have emotional downs all the time, and it's like they're always mean. Now we're talking Christians, okay? Always mean, always hateful, and you feel like you're walking on eggshells every time you get around them. I don't care what they say. They are not walking deeper into God. God uses the word, I'll use it. They're liars. They are not walking deeper into God. Because God is love. And if you're going deeper and deeper into God, you're going deeper and deeper into love. And the deeper you go into God, the deeper you go into love, the deeper you are going into forgiveness. So people that are holding grudges, I just can't forgive them. They just... This happens sometimes in ministry. People in a church do the pastor dirty. He loses the church, and he could lose the parsonage, he could lose the car and everything. Pastor might get over it, might be walking in love, but boy, pastor's wife, you better be glad she doesn't have a .44 Magnum in her hand 20 years later. Those people back there hurt my affairs. People that keep bringing up the past and all the bad things that were done to them, there's no forgiveness. What happened, happened, okay? But people that keep bringing it up... You know, it's one thing to remember what happened. But it's another thing to keep reminding everybody what happened.
Right.
And you can tell by the tone of a person's voice what's going on inside. The forgiveness is not there. And they can talk about their, oh, me and Jesus, we're just like this. No, you're not. Because if you and Jesus were just like that, those people have been forgiven a long time ago. You cannot go deeper into God without going deeper into unconditional love and deeper into unconditional forgiveness. It is impossible. Preach whatever doctrines you want, but it's impossible. The Word of God makes that very clear. Refusing to love and holding unforgiveness is like a spiritual wall of faith. If you look over, let me show you something here. Look over in Luke chapter 14. This might seem like a contrast unless you understand what's being said. Luke 14, verse 26, Jesus is talking and he says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Well, what's it mean to bear my cross? Well, part of what that means is in the previous verse. Yeah, but he wants us to hate? Now, you've got to understand what he's talking about. First off, we know we're supposed to love with the love that God has. When he talks about hate, what he's saying in this is, again, whose definition are we talking? All right. He's saying, you've got to love me so much that compared to how you relate to others, at times it might seem like you hate them. Now, let me give you an example. Brother Billy, now we're talking in a family situation, okay? Not body of Christ, but in the family. Brother Billy did Sister Susie wrong. Because when Mama died and Daddy died, Brother Billy took more of the inheritance than Sister Susie got. 15 years later, Sister Susie is still angry at Brother Billy. And Sister Susie doesn't think you should go to the family reunions because of what Brother Billy did. And if you go to the reunion, Sister Susie no longer wants to have anything to do with you. Because if you really loved me, you'd understand what he did to me. And you would... All right, now that's just one example, but that kind of stuff goes on, all right? And we could give variations of that from all different perspectives. When you love Jesus the way that you're supposed to love him. Now listen closely to this. And you love your family and other people the way that God loves you. You will not accommodate sin. Does God accommodate your sin? I didn't say he strikes you down when you do it. Or doesn't. What I'm saying, does he accommodate it? In other words, does he make provision for it? Does he blink at it? Does he say, it's okay? Does he kind of turn his back and say, well, you've been good for the last 6 months, so this mess up, nah, that's okay. You know, you've done enough good stuff to outweigh the bad thing you did, so this sin, I'm going to let that one fly. No problem, don't worry about it. Just, you better be good from now on. Because, you better, I'm watching you. Well, when you love people, you're going to love them enough that you will not compromise your stand with God. When you love people the way that God loves, you are not going to accommodate their sin. Dr. Dobson uses the term tough love. You know, think of it this way. Remember the story of the prodigal son? Did Daddy love the prodigal son? Did Daddy welcome him back? Yeah. Did Daddy go chasing after him while he had that rebellious spirit on the inside? No. And see, that's where a lot of folks get messed up. We think unconditional love means we just put up with anything. Daddy let boy take inheritance and live like the devil. And he didn't go after him to bring that rebellious attitude back in the house. But boy, when that kid came home, it was open arms, have a party. My boy's home. The boy made the choice to return to the father's love. And the Father accepted him, regardless of how dirty, smelly, and ugly he had become. Daddy cleaned him up and threw a party. Unconditional love does not just sit back and say, it's okay, I love you, you can do anything you want. For pastors, this is those of you that are called to be pastors, listen up. When you walk in love, you're going to have some people leave your church.
That's right.
Because when you walk in love, you're going to walk according to God's standards, not what other people want. And when you're walking according to God's standards, sooner or later, somebody is not going to like it because it's going to confront some junk in their lives they don't want to deal with. And if they don't have the ability to build for themselves a coalition of voters in that church to kick you out, they'll end up leaving. Does that mean you lock the door if they come back? No. It means you love. Unconditional love and unconditional forgiveness is not what a lot of people make it out to be. Just read the New Testament and see how it's demonstrated. Just read the Word of God. But here's what's interesting. It may seem difficult to understand this concept right now, but the deeper you go into God, the deeper you're going into love, the deeper you're going into forgiveness, the more you're going to understand it. The more it's going to make sense to you. And the more wisdom you're going to walk in to understand how this love and forgiveness is to be demonstrated. Let's talk about the fourth aspect, invariable aspect of faith. Turn to Mark 11. Or some people call it Hagen 11, 22-24. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. The faith and confession message, bingo, right here it is. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. It's very cut and dry, but it's criticized. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. We are built up on faith by praying in the Spirit. Love is like a power source for faith. And faith is released through words. Faith is released through words. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, Jesus, well, you were close to that. Go ahead and turn over there. Luke 6:45. Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth fruit which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Now, and looking at this in context here, faith is released with your words. If you speak in contrast to God's Word, you are not speaking Word of God faith. I'll give you a bizarre example. I think I've told you this before. How that the first church I pastored, before I got there, years before I got there, there was three ladies got really mad at the pastor and a bunch of other stuff, you know. So they figured they'd settle the issue. They went to the church on a Saturday afternoon, got out, stood in the parking lot, stretched their hands toward the church, and started speaking curses. There are whacked out people, aren't there not? Started speaking curses, all right? That is not Word of God faith, okay? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Well, we know what was in the abundance of their hearts, do we not? It was not the Word of God. When your heart is full of the Word, you will speak the Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. So we could, in a variation, say, God's Word is faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. God's Word is faith. So if my heart's full of God's Word, then my heart will be full, so to speak, of faith. So then when I speak, I am speaking faith words. All right? Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, perfect example. Turn over there. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, with my heart I believe, with my mouth I confess, and I end up receiving that which I am believing for and confessing to receive. It's there. I'm born again. This is a perfect example of Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. Well, people still criticize this message. However, the bottom line is, a person living by faith is going to speak faith. And see, that's the thing about it. When you're living by faith, another way to put that is, you're living by the Word of God. The more you're living by the Word of God, the more the Word of God is going to come out of you. So when you're around people and they are... I don't mean everybody's quoting Scripture every time. I'm talking about the message of in the Word. You know, by His stripes you were healed. Well, I'm not saying you go around and you confess that every time that you're talking with somebody. You're not quoting, you know, word for word out of the Bible. But the message that's in the Bible is what's coming out of you. The love that's in the Bible. The compassion that's in the Bible. The whole, everything that's in here, is that's your speech. That's your conversation. When you get around people that, like, almost everything they say is contradictory to the Word of God, and yet they say they're born again, and I'm sure they probably are, filled with the Holy Ghost even. You know, by virtue of what they're speaking, that they are not full of, quote, faith. Not full of the Word of God. And when you get around folks that... You ever been around people like that, Christians now? It's like, they don't know how to do anything but talk negative. They don't know how to do anything but talk bad about this and bad about that. All they do is complain, one problem after another. I mean, it just... They should have tried out for hee-haw. Remember that? You know, gloom, despair, and agony on me. They should have been there, alright? Because... That's the abundance of their heart. And then if you try and correct them, they'll say, oh no, well, you know, I know that God loves me. And all of a sudden, you know, they'll catch themselves. Now what they're saying is out of the abundance of their mind and what they heard the preacher say. It's amazing to me. I'll let you in on a secret. Don't tell the people in my church, though. I have firsthand witnessed people change their conversation when they get around me. In fact, I've firsthand heard people change their conversation when they get in church. And when they're outside of church, around me or not, I've heard them change the way, oh, pulling in the parking lot, talk church talk now. Oh, here we are in Frisch's, talk real life. Talk where we are. Well, it hurts, and it ain't gonna, and it ain't not, never will, can't be, it's oh, oh, here comes the pastor. Well, glory to Jesus. No, he said, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaketh. Just think about it. Everybody knows how to, you know, do it right around the preacher. But you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, if your heart is full of the Word of God, if you're even headed in that direction, it is going to come out. It's going to come forth. It's going to be known. And not just when I am around. It's going to come out in your life, no matter who you are or where you are. On the next page, here's another word that the Lord gave to me. Faith believes you can move into an anointing instead of sitting and waiting for an anointing or hoping an anointing will be passed on when a minister lays hands on you. An anointing comes from God through the Holy Spirit to you. A person can know their calling and operate in it to a point without a great anointing because personality can go a long way. But the anointing that comes from the Holy Spirit will empower your call to fulfillment. If you do not spend time with the Holy Spirit, you cannot receive His anointing. And it was like Jesus was speaking that to me. See, here's what you're going to find out. The more time you spend with God, sometimes it's going to be like the Father is speaking to you. Sometimes it'll be like the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And sometimes it'll be like Jesus is speaking. Well, this is one of those times where it was like Jesus. It's like He came up and sat down beside me and says, let me tell you something. Faith believes you can move into an anointing instead of sitting around and waiting for an anointing or hoping that Brother Big Time will lay his hands on you and you'll get an anointing. And he said, and not only that, but the anointing comes from God through the Holy Spirit. And if you don't spend time with Him, you can't receive His anointing. And boy, the part that I, you know, you can operate in your call to a point because personality can go a long way. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what, there's a lot of big churches that are built on personality. A lot of them. If you're in one, get out. Why are you wasting your time? You're riding the coattails of somebody who's going nowhere. Get out. That's pretty strong, Brother Martin. Well, God calls people liars. Would God tell you anything different? Seriously, would God tell you anything different? Would He stand here, if He walked in here right now and said, Jim, here, step aside. Yes, Lord. Now, you guys, forget that. He's wrong. Go ahead and stay right where you are. It's all right. Doesn't matter to me. I don't care what you hear. I don't care what you taught. Makes no difference. You got a good personality? Hang around them. You'll have fun. Enjoy the theatrics. Hey, it's going to draw more people in. Bring in Bingo the Clown. I love looking at those clowns dance around with I Love Jesus blinking on and off all over their outfits. You and I both know God's not going to say that. See, again, here's the problem. Too many people are wrapped up in the personalities of who they're serving. They're not serving Jesus. They're serving the personality of the individual. A lot of folks don't want to admit that. They say they're serving God. All right. One identifying factor is when those, one, not the only, one identifying factor is when those under the preacher, the personality, when those under that personality start dressing and acting like the personality. Stop serving the personality. Start serving Jesus. Start serving Jesus. I don't know who needed to hear that. It's not even in the notes. But we'll take it anyway, won't we? Yes, praise God. Well, let's talk about mustard seed faith. Yeah, let's talk about mustard seed faith. Okay, everybody pull out your little necklace. You know what I'm talking about. The little necklace has got the mustard seed in it, in the acrylic, and everybody, you go out and buy it. I should have bought, I don't sell those things. I don't dip them in oil and say, anointed mustard seed. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verse 6. And the Lord said, if you had faith, hey, listen, you guys sometimes think I talk pretty straight, don't you? Look at this. Here's Jesus. These guys, verse 5. The apostle said unto him, Lord, increase our faith. Jesus said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Oh, Jesus. You don't want to get like that Hagin fella now. He's a little off the deep end, Brother Jesus. We want to stay balanced. Keep both feet on the ground now. I don't know. This looks to me like it's pretty straight. Increase our faith, Jesus. If you had faith like as a grain of mustard seed, you could say the sycamine tree. Get up, get out of here, and it would obey you. Oh, Jesus. There he goes with that name it and claim it, blab it and grab it stuff again. You think Jesus... First off, the sycamine tree is not the same thing as the sycamore tree. And if you go and start looking in some of your research books, it's going to say that. It will tell you that the sycamine and the sycamore are the same thing. They are not the same thing. And it will also tell you that the sycamine is the exact same thing as the mulberry. It is not the same thing. The sycamine tree was different from those. And the reason that Jesus used the sycamine was because the root system... Now I know how my dog felt for years. The sycamine tree had a root system that made it almost impossible to dig out. You ever dug a tree out and it's got that root that goes down in there? The sycamine tree had a root system. It wasn't just a big root. And all trees have roots that spread, but the sycamine tree had a root system that made it almost, and the wood was hard. It was almost impossible to dig one of those out, especially back in those days. I mean, they didn't have sears where they could run down and get something, okay? It was almost impossible to get the sycamine tree out. So when Jesus is looking at these fellows, he says, hey, if you increase my faith. Yeah, right. If you guys had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could speak, you could talk to a tree. And not just any old tree, a sycamine tree. And tell it, get up and get out of here, and it would obey you. Well, these guys are thinking, Jesus is nuts. You can't do that, Jesus. Nobody can talk to a tree. Excuse me. Wait, didn't Jesus do something like that? A fig tree, was it not? And it died? And they kind of flipped out when they saw that. Look! It died, Jesus! It died! It's like, oh gosh. I'm sure Jesus had some very frustrating moments at times. Look back over in Matthew chapter 17. So Jesus says, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could talk to a sycamine tree. Uproot the thing. And there it goes. Chapter 17 of Matthew. Just look at verse 20. Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Okay, if I have faith as a grain of mustard seed, I can talk to a sycamine tree, but not only that, I can also talk to a mountain. Sounds to me like faith can do a whole lot of neat things. You can uproot trees that can't be uprooted, and you can remove mountains that are impossible to move. Well, when I heard this preached so many times, they would say, if you have faith, it's a grain of mustard seed. Faith is a grain of mustard seed. And then sometimes, if you've ever been in the services where they hold up a mustard seed, you know, see there, faith is a grain of mustard seed. And they point it at you like that. And, you know, I'm thinking, okay, faith is a grain of mustard seed. Faith is a little bitty thing like that. It's like, wow, that's a tiny little bitty, almost not their thing. I mean, boy, that's little mustard seed. If I have faith like that, I'm supposed to be able to talk to trees and talk to mountains and everything's going to change and nothing shall be impossible to me. If I have faith like a grain of mustard seed, nothing shall be impossible. But right now, everything is impossible to me. So that must mean my faith is smaller than the mustard seed. So for crying out loud, how big is my faith? Like molecule size or what? It was a condemning message. Because these people walk around with these little necklaces, you know, with their little faith, you know, mustard seed in there. I got faith, mustard seed, I got faith. And yet nobody can do anything. But the preacher said, if we had faith like the grain of mustard seed, there it is. Well, here's the thing. If you go back and you don't turn to it now, but if you look in Luke 17 and here in Matthew, Jesus did not say, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed. He didn't say that. He said, if you had faith like or as a mustard seed. All right? You know what that means? That means there's something about a mustard seed. If I can find out what it is about the mustard seed, then I can find out what it is about faith that's going to make a difference in my life. Well, lo and behold, there is something about the mustard seed. It's about four chapters earlier here in Matthew. Turn over to chapter 13. Now look at this. Verse 31, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed. Aha! It's like to a grain of... Now here's this mustard seed thing again. Now he told me if it had faith as or like a mustard seed, then I could speak to a sycamine tree and I could say to a mountain and they'd obey me and nothing would be impossible to me. Now, here's a mustard seed. And he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took. Uh-oh. All right, here he goes. Now he's going to start telling me something about a mustard seed. A man took the mustard seed, a grain, a single grain of mustard seed. He sowed it in his field. Now, wait a minute. Hold on here. The Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And over there in Mark, Jesus said, the sower soweth the Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word, and so or so with the Word. Well, here's a grain of mustard seed, and a man sowed it in his field, which indeed, the mustard seed, is the least of all seeds, the smallest of them all. But, here comes the key connection between faith and the mustard seed. But, when it is grown, what? The mustard seed. When the mustard seed is grown, it is the greatest or the biggest among herbs to the So here's the thing about the mustard seed. He says, a guy takes the grain, one little mustard seed, the smallest seed, and he plants it in his field. Well, that thing begins to grow. And for a while, it's no bigger than anything else that's out there in my field. But it keeps growing. While everything else stops growing, the mustard seed doesn't. It keeps growing. It keeps growing, it keeps growing, and it gets bigger and bigger to the point that now it's no longer just a little bitty seed. It has become an herb or a bush that is so big it looks like a tree. And it is bigger than anything else that's out there in my field, to the point that even the birds come and take up lodging in it. So after Jesus explains this whole concept of the mustard seed and uses that illustration, then he turns right around and he says, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you would be able to say to the mountain, to the sycamine tree, be thou removed, it would obey you, and nothing would be impossible unto you. Or in other words, what he's saying is this, if your faith was like the mustard seed, then here's what would be happening in your life. Your faith would be growing and growing and growing. And when it first starts off, as you take the Word of God by which faith comes and you sow it into the field of your life, it starts off as a tiny little grain, and there's no way that you can see how that sowing this Word into your life is ever going to change the circumstances, because the circumstances are bigger than anything that you've ever faced. However, if you do what is necessary to cause that faith to grow, eventually what's going to happen is this. Your faith will grow and grow and grow and grow to the point to where it actually is bigger than all of your problems and overshadows them, and you're going to be able to speak to those problems, be gone, and they will go, and nothing shall be impossible to you. But if you don't do what's necessary to cause your faith to grow, then guess what? The problems are going to stay bigger than your faith. And you can talk to them all you want, but nothing's going to change. Faith does not come by confession. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you are built up on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. Then your faith is released through your confession. That's when you speak to the mountains of sickness and poverty and anything else, and it has to depart, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. That's the problem. In the body of Christ, we're essentially trained that almost everything is impossible. And so we send people to counseling, and we send people to therapy groups, and we send people here, and we send people there. You know, wait a minute. God Himself, again, not my theology, God's Word. God Himself has said, nothing shall be impossible. Yeah, but He didn't really mean that. Well, what did He mean? I mean, if God said nothing shall be impossible, what did God, if He didn't mean nothing shall be impossible, what did He mean? He used the word nothing, but it meant some things? Let's get real here. God said, nothing shall be impossible to you. That tells me, it doesn't matter how big a problem is, if I continue to do what is necessary to cause my faith to grow, then you know what? In the field of my life, my faith will become bigger than any other problem, any problem that would try to plant itself in my life. And I'll be able to uproot the sycamine trees of problems and uproot the mountains of circumstances. I can speak to them. Jesus said it. Speak to them. They obey you, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. That's what mustard seed faith is all about. It's not about little bitty. It's about great big. It's about what's contained in the mustard seed, because in that mustard seed is the image of the entire tree. In the Word of God is the image of your entire faith life. In your mind, you don't understand how these words can cause faith to come. It takes faith to believe that. If you don't even believe that, what's that say about your faith walk? In these words are the containers of the answers to every problem that you'll ever encounter in life. But if you don't do what's necessary to cause your faith to grow and develop, the problems are going to stay bigger. But Jesus has given us this example, and He's told us it's possible for your faith to become bigger than anything you will ever face. But I don't understand, Brother Martin. I don't understand. That's because you're not walking at that level of faith yet. See, you might be walking at a get rid of the sniffles level of faith. See, and it's, you understand. It's no big deal. Yeah, you just deal with it. Just sniffles be gone in Jesus' name, and they're gone. All right, you might be at that level. When you're at that level, you understand perfectly well how it works. You see what I'm saying? But you might not be yet at the $50,000 in debt level of faith. That's why you say, I don't understand how it can work. But when your faith gets to the point to where it has grown beyond the $50,000 debt level, then you look at the $50,000 debt level and you realize, well, that's no big deal. Yeah, I just speak to it. I just speak to it. But that doesn't make sense, Brother Martin. Tell Jesus. He's the one that started this. I didn't. Go back to Him and complain. Don't write dirty letters to me. Don't send dirty letters to Brother Hagin. Jesus is the one who said these things. It's right there in the Bible. If He didn't want us talking to stuff, He wouldn't say so. And if He didn't believe it weren't possible for us to have faith to go bigger than any problem we face. Now, let me throw in this disclaimer. You will never be able to control the will of another human being with faith. But I'll tell you this. You can control the devils. You can control the demons. Oh, Brother Martin, what did Jesus do? What did Paul do? What did Peter do? What's in the Bible now? What's in the Bible? They exercised authority. Remember, there's one guy, they thought they were hot shots. In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out! Seven of them. The devil says, Paul I know, Jesus I know, who are you? And this skinny little Barney Fife guy whooped all seven of them, stripped them buck naked, and out the street they ran. Can you imagine that? Seven sons of the high priest running naked down the street. That'll make the National Enquirer. Click, click, click. That'd make Jerry Springer too, I guess. Now, you were telling us what happened? This man did what to you? When your faith is like the mustard seed, it's going to grow. You can say you have mustard seed faith, but if it's not growing, you don't have mustard seed faith. Mustard seed faith grows and you'll begin seeing results. It's guaranteed. Jesus said so right here. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to finish off. Now get into the next session. We'll pick that up next time we're together. We'll talk about works and faith and all that and praise the Lord. But right now, we're going to take the last few moments and lift our hands and worship Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. I love you. I glorify you. I worship you, Jesus, my Savior, my Lord, my Master. Jesus, I love you. I praise you. I thank you so much that your words are true. Your words never fail. You are everlasting truth. You are everlasting peace and joy and love. Jesus, you are everything. And I praise you. And I thank you, Father, for tonight. Your word is like seed sown into our hearts, and we say it will grow and produce in our lives everything that you want it to produce. And so once again, by faith we ask for and receive divine protection as we leave this place. And Jesus, we give you all the glory in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.